It's always great when we have the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, with us here. Jimmy, how you doing, man?
Very good, Vic. Good to be with you.
All right. So, Jim, I know a little cleaning up of business from last Friday night. Not a pretty game. We know all that. In terms of the grand scheme of what it really means, I've got my reservations only because I do think that so much was focused on that second preseason game against Green Bay being the third preseason game because of the obvious circumstance with the Eagles and that they were going to play them in the opener. It doesn't excuse everything. It kind of gives me, though, a little sense of a team that was really not ready or not, I would say the word ready, not putting its all into that third preseason game against Philadelphia.
Boy, I would agree with you. I think that they're all saying that there was really no game plan for the game, that it was a pretty vanilla game going in. And I think, I will say on the other side, I'll give the Philadelphia Eagles a lot of credit.
They look
good. They had just played on Monday against New England on the road. They came to Cleveland. They played very, very well here in Cleveland on Friday night. I think that's a team that realized that they really underachieved last year. Got themselves into a bad spot when they had that four-game losing streak.
Right.
Couldn't get themselves turned around, got hot late, and missed out on the playoffs. And so I think that they've really dedicated themselves to this season. So there's no question in my mind on September 9th, they will be ready.
Oh, yeah.
And now the Browns certainly have to answer for
that. And I think the one preview, a biggest takeaway of a preview of what this Philadelphia team is about is speed.
Yeah.
And depth. I mean, they've got those two things in major ways, especially the speed part. And they were playing fast in every possible way. That also constituted a hard-hitting game on their part. But I was just mostly impressed with the fact that everywhere you look on that team, they have fast players.
Yeah, they really do. And, you know, the new thing in the NFL, and there's always a rage with a new thing going on, but I think the new thing is that you have to be too deep on your defensive line.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to play the 4-3. So teams like Cincinnati, who I think too deep, and definitely this team that we saw on Friday night, the Eagles are definitely too deep now. The Giants have had to be too deep because you try and get, you know, your pass rush from that front four.
Sure.
So you really have to be, if you're going to play fast, like you said, and they did on Friday night, I think you have to have a rotation that it's not a lot of drop-off when you bring in a starter's, second-string guy, replacement to come into the game. And, boy, I'll tell you what, I am a believer in what the Eagles have done up front. They really are quick.
Now, before that Philadelphia game, if you and I were sitting here talking about the Browns' offensive line and pointing to the fact that you had a group, except for one spot, that had four players play a full season together last year, we'd feel good about that. We'd say that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But what we saw, of course, against the Eagles was much of what we saw against Detroit, a line that struggled to handle pass rush. In particular, the two guards seemed to have their issues dealing with the inside pressure. Again, when you're not scheming to block, I know this doesn't explain everything, but it doesn't help your cause. And the other thing is, for the sake of Jason Pinkston and Sean Laval, I think they're better players than what they showed there. That's the guys that I saw throughout training camp really were didn't look like those two guys that played against Philadelphia.
No, and I think that I still think when that plays out as the season goes along, the offensive line is going to be a strength.
Yes.
Of this team. I think it's a unit that's been together now, as you mentioned. The two guards have a full year under their belt. So they should only get better. I think the right tackle, Schwartz, is going to be a bit of a work in his rookie year, but I think he's a fast learner.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to be okay, and Alex Mack and Joe Thomas should be fine. So I think that once this thing gets rolling, everything will be okay on the offensive line. I certainly didn't come into the year thinking that would be a weakness.
Right.
And I hope it isn't. I mean, I really think that it will straighten itself out. The other thing is they just got in terrible down and distance, situations where they're first and 20, second and 15, and I mean, then your playbook becomes really scarce at that point in time. And I'm sorry, but my imagery is still fixed on what will Trent Richardson look like in that offense, because it seems as though there's a big chunk when he's totally healthy that the workload will be strong for him and he'll help a great deal.
And I'm glad you bring that up. We're visiting with Jimmy Donovan, the voice of the Browns here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Glad you bring up Trent Richardson, because it's that piece to this puzzle that is so critical. and will give this team such a different look. I mean, we're really not watching the real Browns, in my mind,
no,
through three games right now. And as much as Montario Hardesty, I thought at times was solid, didn't play as well against the Eagles as he had done previously. Again, how much of that is did he? How much help did he get from the line and the other elements that were part of this? But the two fumbles would in two games would be one point to make. But the other point to make is that, you know, Brandon Jackson stepped in and certainly looked pretty solid in his own right. Still, in the two of those guys and the entire running back crew, there's only one guy who to me has that special, you know, is clouds above these guys, and that is Trent Richardson. But you know, we are only using our imagination,
sure,
because we don't see
we haven't seen
him do
it.
We saw it for a few weeks in camp or whatever it was in camp, very briefly in off-season workouts, and I just think how much different it's going to mean to this team. The tone is going to change.
Oh, I think so, and I think it will change for Brandon Whedon, and it will change for a lot of different things. It will change for that offensive line, and where I mentioned that you got in bad down and distance situations Friday night, he should get you in better down and distance situations once he starts playing here. The thing with Hardesty, Vic, is that he's almost like the opening to the TV show 60 Minutes, where that clock is ticking. And I think that he just magnifies everything because he really believes personally that we haven't seen the type of player that he believes that he is.
Right.
So a fumble becomes a huge thing for him.
Magnified.
Then a second fumble becomes even bigger. And then tentative play sometimes hitting a hole becomes even more magnified because I think he believes that he can break big runs.
Sure.
And he wants to make every run a big, big run. And so he's kind of dancing around a little bit. So I think that the fact that he's been injured and the fact that now he's fumbled a little bit, I think that he feels there's a clock ticking on his existence, whether it is here or maybe in the entire league. And he's trying to show us the football player that he was at Tennessee,
right,
that had the Browns go up to in the second round to get him.
I agree there's a compounding of issues possibly in his mind. And I don't want to, you know, play amateur psychologist here, but you saw it in his face even after the game Friday night,
yep,
that he looked like a guy who was a little down. You got to get over that, though.
Right.
I mean, as a pro,
absolutely,
there is no tolerance for being down. You're not allowed in the NFL really to get in a mopey situation. And I'm not saying that he necessarily is, but we would understand it, I guess, if he was. That said, what has to happen in I'm thinking in this remaining days. Now, I don't know how much it has to play out against the Bears Thursday night. I think that game is going to be more for the Adonis Thomases of the world versus the Montario Hardesties or even the Brandon Jacksons.
Right.
But I'm wondering if Brandon Jackson has done enough to change the conversation about what the number two back was. Hardesty had that edge. He was, what did we talk about this whole offseason? Explosive, remade his
right
body,
sure,
running fast, impressive, maybe the most impressive back in training camp, including the times when Trent Richardson was on the field. I don't know if that's still the same conversation. And Brandon Jackson, for his part, you know he's trying to rally.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely think. I think Brandon Jackson felt that Hardesty had changed in the offseason and come into this year with a new body and a burst of speed and a level of confidence. And really that the battle here was to be the number two running back. I mean, everybody knew who the lead guy was going to be because you went up and got him with the third overall pick. But I do believe that Jackson has moved out in front. I really do. And I think that every time he's come into the game, he's come into the game with a real purpose,
mm-hmm,
to come into the game and blast away at things and be quicker, play
right
fast,
which right
is exactly what we say about, you know, what the Eagles do. Every team wants to play pretty fast here. Now in the NFL, you want to get up, you want to get going, you want to get, you know, you want to play with a purpose, you want to move the ball quickly and get into a good rhythm. And I think Jackson has answered that. So I do believe as we come to the fourth game, I think that he has nosed in front of Hardesty in that race to be the number two back, that when Richardson needs a blow, which might be a little bit more early in the year than it
right
is once Trent really gets into game shape, I think that's an important spot now.
What do we think about the quarterback situation? As far as Colt McCoy goes, he has consistently done, I think, what you'd absolutely want a backup quarterback to do. And Pat Shurmur's talked about this. I mean, the idea that every time he goes out there and performs, he sees the comfort level. He sees the guy who just looks better all the way around playing the game. Now, you know, those who are and he's got his supporters and those who would say, why isn't he the starter? Why give this thing already over to the kid, to the rookie, Brandon Whedon? But my sense is that this is what this preseason was about, too, was you knew going in Whedon had the job, or at least, you know, would have to do a lot to lose the job, a lot bad, and I don't think he has. And looking at McCoy, I'm not sure how much good he could have done to get the job. And coming into the games when he is as a backup, facing backups for the most part, he's, in my mind, at least given this team confidence that it has a solid number two.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it's a tricky thing, I think, you know, with a backup quarterback. What is it they always say? The backup quarterback is always the number one popular guy in a city that has an NFL team. Colt could be that guy. There's no question about it. He does have his friends and his fans out there that really support him and would go a long way to think that he needs a bigger shot here. But I hope people don't get involved in that game right now. I don't think that that's productive for this football team.
Right.
I think that they've made a commitment to Brandon Whedon, and I think that, we have to live with that commitment. Now, we'll get a little bit beyond that once the regular season comes, but I mean, you know, for instance, if things don't go quickly on September 9th offensively for the Browns, are you going to have a faction of the crowd that says, hey, listen, let's put Colt McCoy in? Vic, we've played that movie here since 1999.
Yeah, it's a bad
movie.
It's
a bad movie. There is no great result that comes out of it.
No.
You really have to. And I think the Browns in here, in Berea, where we sit, have made the commitment.
Yeah.
But I think everybody always likes the backup guy when they come in.
No, and being steadfast to that decision. Not, I mean, say doing it to a fault or being obstinate just because it disagrees with what the popular opinion is. That's not the point. You stick to what your football senses tell you as an organization.
You really do.
Jimmy, thank you so much.
Sure,
and,
Vic.
We will catch you. We'll do this again.
Absolutely.
He is Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, the one and only joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.